We're finishing the year. It's been a very hard year. Certain things one should take away from the year. And if anyone had thought that everything is finished, obviously, as things are developing, Baruch Hashem wants to show he's still in charge. A year ago, when I was talking to people, I said the world would never be the same. Not only Corona ignited a fire. United States society, certainly in total collapse. One of the biggest surprises I had when I was in the UK a few weeks ago was, I'm not that familiar with the details of society, but there were a sufficient number of people there who explained to me that there are certain things happening that also will never be the same. Kadosh Baruch Hu shakes up a world and wants us to pay attention. When he's shaking up the world and wants us to pay attention, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm not happy. And if I'm not happy, you have to understand why he's not happy. Not happy with the world, not happy with us. And it doesn't take any great genius to understand that societies based on a mad pursuit of pleasure has lost any spiritual balance of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not tolerate. In addition, the Medrash. Medrash says, why is it that Dora Mabel was destroyed and Dora Afloga wasn't? Dora Mabel's society fell apart. Kimol Oretz Chomos. Mad pursuit of pleasure ultimately results in Gneva. Person just gives in to whatever he wants to do and justifies it. He'll do it with a lundus, or this lundus, that lundus. Last summer, violent looting all over the United States. It was done with a lundus. It's really, it's not violence. It is that. But Geneva is Geneva, and Geneva is Geneva. Ritzicha is Ritzicha, and Ritzicha is Ritzicha. That's when society falls apart. On the other hand, Dora Afloga, different. They were unified together to be Kofar and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a unity. When society falls apart, then there's nothing to do. Interesting medrash. Why was it times of David HaMelech, people died in war. Times of Achav, no one died in war. Achav was the Oved Avodah Zarah. His whole goal was to to be machshel all of Klai Yisrael and Avodah Zarah. Dover Melech, Tzadik Yisrael. Since the time of Dover Melech, there was no achdus in Klai Yisrael. Times of Achov, there was achdus in Klai Yisrael. When we're together as one nation, no one can stand up to us. We're fractured by the machlokas, then anyone can stand up to us. The machlokas in Klal Yisrael are unbelievable. And the fact to the degree we're part of a culture of mad pursuit of pleasure makes us part of this whole corruption of human values. All it can be done with Ashkochas HaBadatz. But still part of a society that is just a mad pursuit of pleasure. It's a society without spiritual goals. Spiritual goals are gone. And because of that, nothing to hold society together. The one who understood that was Bilam. He couldn't stand up to Klal Yisrael. Ki baruch hu. And Om Kalov Yogu. There's nothing I can do against them. They're baruch, they're blessed. Lo hibidovim b'yakov, lo romo b'yisrael, Hashem el kovimo. Usruas, miloshen reyos. It's onklos, bo. And in amlu vodad yishkon, we're a separate, different nation. We can't be thought about as any other nation. But we have to think we're a different nation. We have to think about Goyim Lo Yischashev. So Kalon comes Bilam and says, yeah, there's one way I can destroy them. I can destroy them by making them just like everybody else. Then they're no longer in Am Kalovi Yishkon. No, they're no longer ain't Levodid Yishkon. And I'm going to do that by Marshall and Wuznus Natlita Varazora, and they're all going to fall apart. And Pinchas, I heard an interesting vote Shabbos from my son in law who's great-great-grandson of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. Name Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. Very strange. The Mevazahim, discussed about it last week, his grandfather was a Kohen Avodah Zarah, Tio. He gave a justification. Here, what was the problem? The problem was, there were two separate averis. Averis Nus, Averis Avodah Zarah. Zimri ben Solo, in his twisted view of L'Shem Shemayim, said, okay, I'll show them, Nus is not a problem as long as no Avodah Zarah. And then they tie it to Pinchas, he's insensitive to Avodah Zarah. Comes along Pinchas and says, Kem Shalelu Soni Zima. No, no, no. You don't understand. The Znus by itself is destroying Klal Yisrael. Then at the beginning of Parshas Matos, Nekom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Meis HaMidyonim Acha Teyosef Al Amecha. So, There's a serious problem here. When Moshe Rabbeinu was in Mitzrayim, the Esa Makos, he couldn't hit the Gert, he couldn't hit the Nile. Why? Because when he had to bury the Mitzri, he buried him in the earth. And when he was floating as a child, it's in the Nile that saved him. HaKoras HaTov. And then he's told, make war against Midian. War against Midian, listen, he was all those years in Midian. The answer is, Enochanim is HaKoras HaTov. But HaKoras HaTov is only up to a point. HaKoras HaTov doesn't say that if they're out to destroy you, not physically, spiritually, however they're out to destroy you, you have to sit back. You go against them. Elef lamata, elef lamata. What's elef lamata, elef lamata? Medrash. For every 1,000 soldiers, there are 1,000 people who were back in the camp, davening and learning. They understand the soldier is only going to win if there's someone who's learning Torah and davening for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the war. Elef lamata, elef lamata. So the 12,000 soldiers and 12,000 people learning and davening. And Pinchos ben Elozar Kohen, b'chei HaKodesh, chatzotzos hatrua b'yodo. Why? Because to announce HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fighting this battle. And they won. It's Malchim Midyon, it's Evias, Rekibas, Suras, Churas, Reva, five. They killed Bilam ben Bo'or. Bilam ben Bo'or, Horgu b'chorof. What was he doing there? He went to collect his pay. So, what were they said? They're trying to destroy you. So they took captive the people. Weren't trying to destroy them. They fought. The women and children. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, you made a mistake. The ones who were out to destroy weren't the military of Midian. They were the women of Midian. The destruction of Klal Yisrael isn't through what happens in the battlefield. The destruction of Klal Yisrael is Mimachshel Lemarayis. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's confronting people, wanted to be Machshel Klal Yisrael, and to corrupt them with the mad pursuit of pleasure and znus that is the culture of Goyim. There's no HaKoras HaTov. Destroy them to the end. And anyone who has a tzad of posing any danger to Klal Yisrael, destroy. But after the whole thing is finished, they end up being very wealthy. Umikne Rav. So there's gold, there's silver, all sorts of unbelievable amount of wealth. So some people, and then they begin bartering between each other. Umikne Rav, hoyu b'nei Reuven, b'nei Gad, otzamot. So who ended up with all the flock? They go to Bnei Reuven. And Eir Yarden had tremendous pasture. And this is the ideal place for us to become rich. Vayomru, we want this. So, Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at them. Vayikshu elo vayomru. They came to him and said, no, we'll help conquer. Gidros so nivne le makneinu po v'arm lo tapeinu. We'll build corrals for our sheep, our flock, places for our children to live. We'll conquer Eretz Yisrael and come back. Okay. So what did Moshe said, tell them? You have your priorities skewed. You're talking about your money and then your children. No. It's first your children and then your money. Now let me ask you a simple question. Which Jewish parent ever would say my money is more important than my children? I don't believe there's one Jewish parent would ever say that. They didn't realize what they were saying. I'm doing everything about my children, everything about my children, but you're not doing everything for your children. You're doing it for yourself. So you're using your children as an excuse. But that's only half the problem. B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven said, and then all of a sudden there's Chatzi Shevet Menashe ben Yosef. Where did they come in? If you take a look in the Tziv, he points out, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. The people getting impressed with their own wealth, which was just a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in order to balance their infatuation with their newfound wealth, you have to have Chatzi Shevet Menashe ben Yosef, who basically people sat and learned, to teach them as a spiritual, there's a ruchni side of life. You forgot about your children. Then there's an interesting follow-up. He talks about the goal of Arei Miklot. There should be 3 Arei Miklot in Eirei Yarden and 3 Arei Miklot in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says for 9.5 Shvatim you have 3 Arei Miklot. For 2.5 Shvatim you have 3. You have 3 Arei Miklot. It's imbalanced, and no. Eregadin Rabu Ratzchonim. A lot of murder. What? Something is in the water there? Something is in the earth there? And Bechlau, what's the whole problem with this? For Eregadin has Kedusha. Not the same Kedusha as Eretz Yisrael, but that's Kedusha. The answer is exactly that. They got their hands on incredible wealth. And they're telling Moshe Rabbeinu a very simple thing. You know, we're very impressed with our wealth. We want to develop our wealth. And it's good for our families, whatever excuse they give. And because of that, we'll settle for secondhand Kedusha. It's secondhand Kedusha and first level Kedusha. Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael has a higher Kedusha. Take a look, the Mishnayos, Esa Kedusha saying, it's a higher Kedusha. And what does it have to do with Eir Miklah? Very simple. Who goes to an Eir Miklah? Rotzeach B'Shogeg. If your life, you view the Yesod of your life as the Yeretzelem Elokim, the whole goal of your life is developing that Tzelem Elokim. And all your wealth and all your success is just a means in that end. You care about your Tzelem Elokim. You care about somebody else's Tzelem Elokim. But if you don't care about your own Tzelem Elokim, So they not care about somebody else's. It's a Gemara. Also the Yisyachid in Mamoritz. Al Chayei Nafsho. Enochos. Al Chayei Achir. Al Kol Shkein. He doesn't care about his life. He's going to care about somebody else's life. Sometimes when I'm driving in an highway, I see some meshugana weaving in and out. He can cause an accident. He can kill somebody, or himself can get killed. Just as he doesn't care about himself getting killed, he doesn't care about somebody else getting killed. What happened here? What happened here is a very simple thing. A person develops priorities in life. Well, priorities in life, yes, have a lot of wealth. But where'd you get that wealth from? See the massive amount of wealth, the massive amount of people they defeated, and how many soldiers? 12,000 soldiers. It doesn't fit. Oh, you know why those 12,000 soldiers did it? Because another 12,000 people are learning and davening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall allow them. It's a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are you saying? I'm so preoccupied with my matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and putting him down on a second level. Not the top kedusha. It's also Kadosh Regardi. Once you do that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, wait a second. Okay. Have second level kedusha. I have to put Lom Deitorah there just so it don't go totally collapse. And number one. And number two, I have to have extra or a miklot because you're going to be sloppy about your life, you're going to be sloppy about other people's lives. And as Chazal tell us, who are the first ones to go into Golos? Negob, B'nai Ruvim, V'chatzi, Sheva, Menashe. With such an attitude and such an approach, it didn't last that long. As long as the other places. There is a very, very deep, deep, deep Musa Haskel here. Throughout life, make a lot of decisions. A lot of decisions. I mean, what's the basis of these decisions? A lot of decisions where you live, what business you go to. A lot of decisions. And when you make those decisions, to where does your shamayim, where does your desire to lead a ruchnius life play? Thursday night, I was on the phone with a Talmud of mine, very successful Manhattan lawyer. But she's trying to leave. Why is she trying to leave? Because it interferes with his siddur of learning. So he's trying to move to something else. What is he trying to balance? I have to have a ruchnius life. And the nature of a Manhattan lawyer's life doesn't lead to ruchnius life. So some people say it does. Another Talmud, unbelievable Messias Nefesh. She gets paid certainly $1,500, $1,800 an hour. He knows he has to learn. He learns 30 hours a week, whatever, Shabbos, whatever. Because his ruchnius is important. A person, as he's planning his life, has to make a lot of decisions, a lot of important decisions. Negod Bnei Ruvain said, our priority is our money. Our family, our kedusha, that's underneath there. Doesn't count as much. So let's first solidify our financial assets. We'll worry about our family, we'll worry about our Torah, we'll worry about our ruchnius. It leads to disaster. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Kamtam tachas avoseichem tarbus anoshim chatoyim. Kamtam tachas avoseichem. Lispo od al charonaf Hashem Yisrael. Kisa shuvun meyachvav. Because you're turning your back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yosef od lahanicho bamidbar. All success. Tam, tachas avosicha. What does it mean, tarbus anoshim chatoy? Says Unklus. Talmidei guvrayo chayovo. Talmidim of people who are chayev. And you're following a path that's leading you in a bad direction. You're over the minimum, and you're satisfied with the minimum in Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an unbelievable statement of Mesilas Yesharim in the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim. He says, some people say, I'm in a stopping mood. Who has to be the biggest tzaddik in the world? Who has to be this? He says, maybe that's their nature. But generally, if they had an opportunity to be the biggest, the wealthiest person in the world, they won't give that up. Generally, when they say that, it's because it's not that high on their priorities that they want to really achieve excellence. Most people want to achieve excellence in their number one priority. Everything else, they fit in. What did B'nai Godo, B'nai Ruvain said? It's not our number one priority. Our family's not our number one. Oh, if you ask them, of course, why do we need it? We need it for our family. We have to give our children a good life. Of course. But in reality, deep down, what do they say? No. Priority is our money. And after that, everything fits in. And that is the tragedy when they go to B'nai Ruvain. Not that they did at that point any favors. Not that they killed anyone. No. They got a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the end, that matana totally corrupted them. And that is an unbelievable mosahaska. Unbelievable mosahaska, how you make different decisions in life. Where do you live? You live in a place where you're going to have the fullest life possible. Your children will have the best, the foremost opportunities. Or, well, this house is nice, and so this, it's this. There are countless decisions you make in life. When you make those decisions in life, the question is, what's at the top of the priorities? Top of the priority is my Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu or everything else? And then everything follows after that, once you've established your top priority. I often talk, must have said it many times during the year, in the Durham Dav Chesam Ra'alef, some Achokas, Okum Eshne Perikzen, Ne the Godol Nodel Elke Yisrael. Ron says, Mitzvah Talmud Torah is all day. There's a Hetef, Parnosa, there's a Hetef, to eat, had to drink, but really. And the Rambam says, no. This is Talmud Torah, sometime during the day, sometimes at night. The Rambam didn't believe in Bittul Torah. The Rambam is very tough on Bittul Torah. He says, if I have an opportunity for the next 2 hours to do something to learn Torah, and I choose to do something else and not learn Torah. So I said, for the next 2 hours, Limud Torah is number two, and the other thing is number one. You made Torah number two. Kidvarish and Bozes and Soso Heifa, Hikoris, Tikoros. Never show up on the Torah is never number two. Torah is always number one. Kidvarish and Bozes. Anytime you make Torah number two, Torah is always number one. So when you make your decisions, Torah is there. The This parsha is so relevant to everything that happens. That in Pashat, it's a very deep lesson. Remember a good number of years ago, I said the same idea. It was the last Shabbos of the year. And a certain Talmud in Shiva. He wanted, if he was leaving Yeshiva, going to do X, and his whole goal was to get a certain high-quality Manhattan job. And when I said it, he says, yeah, if I do X, if I do this, it's Torah's number two, Torah's number one. He struggled with it. Problem is, not a yom, he's still struggling with it. He's caught. It's Torah number one or Torah number two. He's very chashiv. And then all of a sudden, he had his fancy Manhattan job. And part of the fancy Manhattan job was had to do something grossly dishonest. And so he got an unbelievable promotion. A major Manhattan firm. Well known. And he couldn't do it. But again, what is he presented with? If he did it, the sky's the limit. But Torah says it's not allowed. Different ways you make a decision. Yes Torah or no Torah. Different ways you make a decision. Different ways you make a decision. And then in the end, he couldn't do it. So all of a sudden he's back where he started. Okay, it's a nice job, making a decent parnasa. But you make decisions, just remember, Torah is number one. And at the beginning, when B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven decided Torah is number two, and they were the first ones to go into Golos way before everyone else went into Golos. Because that's the price you paid when Torah is number two.